We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Monday. It's November 21st. It's 2022. 8 NBA games to talk about here on this Monday. I did not forget how to intro the podcast. It has been a while. I did not forget the name of the podcast. So, I mean, I'm 2 for 2 to start. I remember how to start it. I remember how to get YouTube going. It's been a while, but back, joined today by my buddy, Eyes819, Keith Eyster. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much, man. Glad to have you back. Hope everyone's doing well. We missed you for sure. So it's good to get back on one of these with you. Coming off NFL Sunday, obviously, I was way over the field on Tony Pollard, but unfortunately, just way too much Josh Allen for me as well. Not enough Davante Adams. Amari Cooper was kind of necessary too. So okay Sunday, nothing great, but we got a nice little basketball slate here to try to make some money on Monday.
I was telling you before we got started, I haven't watched sports. I mean, I've like occasionally turned into a Magic game or watch whatever football game has been on over the last 2.5 weeks. This will be like getting back into it. This is like a extreme first look for me. So bear with me, anyone. So we are live on YouTube. That'd be back Monday through Friday again. I know Grant was doing it when he was hosting, and I know we were having some issues with like login and stuff like that, but we're good. We're back on YouTube. So if you want to watch the night before recording live, that's up and running again. So I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So glad to be back. Yes, everyone's good. I'm very tired, new daddy. appreciate everyone sending me messages. I had a ton of messages and like people asking like, hey, did you leave? No, I have not. I didn't leave. We welcomed a new family member, but definitely glad to be back. Happy to be back. Happy that it's an 8-game slate. I'm really happy that I didn't like open it up and was researching and like, oh, got a 15-game NBA slate, because I probably would have pushed my paternity leave back a day had that been the case. But 8-game slate, 4 teams on back-to-backs, hopping back in here with hoops. Again, thank you everyone for the messages. It was really nice. Some NASCAR subscribers sent us like gift cards. It was really cool. So just awesome. So yes, glad to be back. But let's get into it and get rolling here with Atlanta at Cleveland, 224.5 total in this game. Cleveland 2.5-point favorite. They're on a back-to-back, if you want to call it that. They ran Miami out of the gym on Sunday. The game wasn't even close. On the Atlanta side, Bogdanovich is out. Cleveland, we're going to be waiting to hear about if Dean Wade is going to play, if Kevin Love is going to play. I think Kevin Love's the big one. I don't know how much Dean Wade really affects things, but I think Kevin Love could potentially affect things. But let's talk about the Hawks here. What do you like here for Atlanta?
Trae Young, I mean, you can play him anytime, any place. This is a really tough matchup for Atlanta, though. Cleveland, one of the slowest teams in the NBA, have been fantastic on the defensive end, top five defensive rating. So tough matchup here, but I think you can play Trae Young. I don't love DeJounte Murray. It's just, it seems like it's harder for him to access a ceiling playing next to Trae Young. He's still priced up a good amount. He's played better than I actually thought he would next to Trae Young. But just in this spot, don't see myself chasing after DeJounte very much. Capella has been playing 30 minutes here pretty regularly, but now his price is climbing a little bit. He gets Jared Allen and Mobley on the other side, so not a good spot for him. I'm probably taking a wait and see on this game here. Don't want to tie up too many roster spots. I will have a little bit of exposure to Trae Young, but not much interest in Atlanta outside of that.
Capella, you know, when we're looking at like a fantasy point per minute, you know, standpoint, he's right up there. You know, obviously Trae Young, 34% usage on the season, averaging 1.35 fantasy points per minute. Him and Murray are getting theirs, but Capella, he's at 1.14, kind of right where he should be price-wise, so it's not like you're getting a huge discount on him. You needed to jump on him like a week ago where you could really take advantage of it. You know, you mentioned it, Cleveland third in defensive rating. They are 29th in pace. Back-to-back, maybe this game gets pushed a little bit faster. Atlanta plays fast. They're sixth in the NBA in pace, but this game's in Cleveland. Good defense. I'm struggling here when I'm looking at the Hawks just in general. Capella would probably be my favorite of the three. Trae Young could always break a slate. So like in large field tournaments, he's always someone that I think you could look at. I'm just out on DeJounte. I think he's a little too pricey, especially on DraftKings at 9,300. He's gone over 40 fantasy points one time in the last five games. So probably out on Murray. Trae Young ceiling, Clint Capella. He just needs to be on the right side of 30 minutes to really get there. And then on the Cleveland side, it's really going to come down to if Kevin Love plays or not. Because if he sits, this team's on a back-to-back, but the starters did not play a lot in that fourth quarter on Sunday. It was a 30-point game. So I'm not too concerned about like the whole back-to-back thing for Cleveland here. That game was in Cleveland. This game, I mean, no travel. Like, what are your thoughts here on the Cavs?
Worth noting that Caris LeVert did leave the game as well and didn't return. I don't know if that was because of the injury or just because they were blowing him out. But if he were to miss, then maybe that opens some things up here a little bit. Otherwise, it's kind of tough with Mitchell in town. I mean, Garland has found a ceiling a little bit, but one of those was a double overtime game. And the other one, Donovan Mitchell, didn't play. So kind of the same situation as on the other side where there's just but the guards I'm having trouble with, Mitchell and Garland both. Mobley's priced up a little bit. Allen's actually cheaper than Mobley, so I would lean to Allen over Mobley. And then we'll see what happens with LeVert. Chetty Osman absolutely smashed against the Heat. That was the majority of that was in garbage time. So we'll have to see. Without LeVert, maybe Osman becomes interesting. But I have a lot of interest in Allen. I think Mobley's playable. I think Garland's playable. It's Mitchell has kind of been impacted by Garland coming back. Don't really see Mitchell getting to a ceiling here. So give me Jared Allen, maybe a little bit of Garland, maybe a little bit of Mobley.
I think this game's going to be competitive and Kevin Love sits. I think Lamar Stevens is interesting. Didn't get a ton of run on Sunday, and I think that was more of just kind of how the game played out. Lamar Stevens is interesting if LeVert sits, like you mentioned. If Kevin Love and LeVert sit, Osman's going to be the point guard usage man for that second unit and could get potential run with the first unit as well. So he's way too cheap. depending on injury news. He could potentially be like the chalky value play that you're just kind of probably roster here, depending on Love and LeVert. So watch that news. Okoro could be potentially interesting pivot on Osman if he gets a ton of ownership, if those guys sit. But I think Lamar Stevens is someone that you kind of want to pay attention to. Garland and Mitchell, they're priced pretty good. Good matchup. You know, this is a up-paced game for Cleveland, so I don't mind taking some tournament shots here, looking at some of these Cleveland guards. Orlando at Indiana, taking on the Pacers. 226.5 total here. The Pacers, a 7-point favorite in this one. The laundry list continues for the Orlando Magic. It feels like this has been the last two seasons for them. Anthony, Paolo, Fultz, Isaac, Moritz Wagner out, and then Wendell Carter Jr. questionable. If he were to sit, obviously it would be huge news. So pay attention to that. And on the Pacers side, Theis and Duarte are out. So let's start here with my Orlando Magic. I mean, it's tough, right? You know, this team's just played. It was a 113-114 game. It was, what, 227 points? Ton of fantasy goodness, especially like if Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't play in this game. So talk to me here about my Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this game. Definitely want more exposure to this one than the last one. We have two bottom 10 defenses here. If Wendell Carter Jr. plays, I want to play him against this Indiana front court. 7,600, think that's a totally fine price. If he's out, I have a ton of interest in Bol Bol and Franz Wagner. With Carter in there, I'm a little bit less likely to play those guys. I probably would just go Carter there. If Carter's out, though, I have a ton of interest. Either way, with or without Carter, I want to play some Jalen Suggs. I think that's a nice price tag at 6,300. Has picked up his game a little bit here recently. Price hasn't quite adjusted to the way he's been playing. Should be out there for mid-30s minutes. So Suggs is a great value. And then if Carter's in there, I want him. Otherwise, Wagner and Bol Bol for me.
Yeah, those guys are great plays. Wendell Carter Jr. sits. Mo Bamba is way too cheap for his potential role. Boy, like you said. I don't love Okiki. Like, there's so much talent there. He just hasn't looked the same since his college injury, you know, or going from college to his first year type of injury. It just hasn't been that explosive player that the Magic first round pick and for the Magic a couple years ago. So, Franz Wagner is the guy that I really like here. I mean, Mo Bamba and Boya Boya, fantastic if Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't play. Large field tournaments, I think RJ Hampton is somewhat interesting. He has the potential to have really good usage on that second unit with Terrence Ross. Got 8 shot attempts up the other night. Was right around like a 20% usage rate in that game. So large field tournaments only for him. You know, just kind of looking for someone on the Magic. I mean, Terrence Ross is 3,900. He just hasn't had that like spark game. Like, he's such a loved player in like the Orlando community. But he just hasn't had that like huge like spark game. Like, he had one good game against Houston this season, and that's really been it for him. So really like the Magic, really shorthanded if Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't play. If Wendell Carter Jr. plays, he's 7,600. If he's not going to be on a minutes limit, he's definitely really interesting here. So I don't know. Minutes concern me with him, so we'll see. But boy, oh boy. 6,900, probably too cheap regardless of Wendell Carter playing or not. Indiana Pacers, I mean, yeah, the Magic are not a good defensive team. They're dealing with a ton of injuries. You know, this is a spot where the Pacers have plenty of upside. Is Haliburton worth 9,400, I think, is what you have to ask yourself. He's averaging almost 1.4 fantasy points per minute. He has the ceiling to pay off 9,400. The matchup seems fantastic. Like, what are your initial thoughts when you're looking here at Haliburton?
Yeah, I'm interested. I think he has shown the ability to pay off that price tag on multiple occasions this year. So, I mean, he's regularly put up 50-plus fantasy points. Fantastic matchup here. I'm all about some Haliburton. I think this is a great spot for him. I prefer him to Trae Young. definitely over DeJounte, who we just talked about in the other game. So I think he's very much in play as a spend up on this slate. And I think there's some other pieces from Indiana we can take a look at. Heald's fallen off a little bit here recently, so I'll probably avoid him. But Mathurin has played really well off the bench. That hit, like his usage with the second unit there, we've seen him put up a ton of points. So I think there's some upside there at 5,700. Miles Turner's price tag is a little bit tough, 7,500. He's finally getting into that appropriate. Difficult, but I do like this game environment. I probably won't go much deeper than that, but Halliburton I definitely have interest in, and I'll sprinkle in a little bit of Mathurin and maybe some Turner if Carter's out.
Mathurin is someone that we were like talking about right when I was like getting ready to leave, like right he was like borderline playable, and then I know Duarte went out, and like he's really interesting. His fantasy point per minute is really solid. His usage is there with that second unit and getting some, you know, minutes with the first unit, because I mean, it's not like Nohard's going to be someone that is going to play a ton of minutes right now. So, Halliburton is the guy that I think like you're going to take some shots on. Nohard's questionable too. Like that's 20 potential minutes to go around somewhere. Whether it be like Neesmith or somebody, you know, something to definitely pay attention to, because Neesmith got run in that game. What was it, Saturday? When didn't Nohard like hurt his? It was something, and like he left the game, and like Neesmith got some extra runs. So just something to pay attention to. Always pay attention to stuff like that. But yeah, Miles Turner, the minutes are there right now. It's just he's kind of priced where he should be. Halliburton's the play for me on the Pacers. Buddy Hield in large field tournaments. He could light up this spot, you know, if he got hot. Boston at Chicago, 226.5 total. The Celtics, a 6-point favorite. Gallo and Williams still out, and then Ball out for Chicago. Pretty much what we've been looking at all season for these two teams. So pretty healthy teams. Start here with the Boston side. Chicago, a decent defensive team. They're right on that borderline top 10. Borderline top 10 in pace. Not the worst spot, not the best spot. What are your thoughts here on the Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, I'm struggling with what to do with this game. I want to play some Tatum. I know that he's priced up, but he has a fantastic ceiling. Chicago has been much better on the defensive end this season compared to last year, though, as you alluded to. So I don't know. I'm struggling with this one a little bit. Like Brown at 8,500 is okay. Like they're all just kind of priced where they should be. And I don't love anything about the game environment, but nothing screams stay away about the game environment either. So I'm going to have some exposure to Tatum and Brown. I don't know that I'll be going any deeper than that. Smart missed some time. So still don't know what the minutes will look like for him. Brogdon hasn't been playing full minutes. He missed a little bit of time here also. So I do like the price tag on Brogdon. If I knew he was going to play about 24, 25 minutes, I'd be interested at 4,900. But he only played, I think it was 18 minutes in his first game back in the last one. I don't know. I'm struggling with this game. I want some Tatum, maybe a little bit of Brown, but that's probably about it here for Boston.
Brogdon in tournaments is super interesting because he's 4,900, like you mentioned. He's someone that, like, I had written down, do I take the tournament shot on him? Like, Grant Williams is the other guy that I had written down as, like, do I just try to get those minutes? Like, is Grant Williams going to play 35 minutes? Because if he's going to play 35 minutes, he offers steal upside. He offers block upside. He can rebound. He can get the easy basket. So, Grant Williams at 5K in a matchup where if he gets those 35 minutes, it's not the easiest or best matchup in the world. But like, is Patrick Williams really going to stop Grant Williams? Like, I think Grant Williams is someone that's interesting here at 5K. And then on DraftKings, you can play him at small forward as well. So you're potentially getting a four at the small forward position. So I don't hate that play. Always interested in getting some exposure to Jason Tatum. He's 10-6. He's priced up. He gets up for these big games. I think this is a game that he'll get up for. not my favorite in the in this high price range, but this is still where kind of Chicago is weak. You know, that DeMar DeRozan trying to guard Jason Tatum spot. So, DeSamo, he's been a lot better, and obviously Vooch is good defensively. So that's where they've improved defensively this season in general. But I think Tatum and potentially Brown could have good games. But Grant Williams at 5K is the guy that like I had written down to really watch throughout the day. The Chicago side, I hate playing these guys when all three are healthy. I really do. When DeRozan, LaVine, and Vooch are all healthy and playing, you're rolling the dice and you're taking a shot. You know, obviously Vooch is coming off of a big game against Orlando. We're shocked, right? Like he always gets up for the Philly games. That was one of his better games this year. So I think Vooch at 7,400 is on the list at center today. But overall, like I don't love this spot for the Chicago team. And like Boston started the season as a team that wasn't great defensively. They're playing better defense now. I mean, this team's 13-3 for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, I expect Boston to be near the top of the league in defense by the time the season's all said and done. So tough spot for the Bulls. The three stars are healthy. DeRozan being the most pricey is probably the one I stay away from. But I will look to Vucevic and LaVine to on the other side of Tatum just to help push Tatum a little bit. You would like to see one of those guys going off. Like LaVine at 7K, I think is pretty interesting. Obviously with DeRozan there too, it's tough to figure out which one of these guys is going to have the great game, but because I want to play some Tatum for sure, I'll probably sprinkle in some Vooch and some LaVine. Drummond is interesting. He's only 30 and this is deep tournament only. He's only played 15 minutes the last two games. But he like before he missed some time with injury, he was up in that like 21, 22 minute range. And we've seen him grab a ton of rebounds in a short amount of time. So at 3,900, I don't mind a deep tournament dart on Drummond, but mainly it'll be Levine and Vooch for me on the other side of my Tatum exposure.
Yeah, that's really it. I don't really see getting to Patrick Williams or anybody like that. I mean, he's cheap. Like if you end up in that price range, like he could go 5, maybe 6X. He's not like a ceiling play. But if you need like a cheap 20 to 25 ish, I think Patrick Williams is always kind of in that range. It just Patrick Williams is always going to be like players like Patrick Williams, not even just Patrick Williams in general, but like players like Patrick Williams are always going to be guys where it's just, it really depends on how the slate shapes up throughout the day. How injury news comes out. We have four back-to-backs. Like, I mean, Golden State played a close game against Houston on Sunday night. Klay played a ton of minutes. He's not going to play on Monday. Are they going to sit anybody else? Like that could open up the slate. So a lot of stuff. I mean, we're a first look podcast. There's going to be a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, is Patrick Williams in play? Well, by the end of the day, probably not. But like right now, do you need 20 to 25 at, you know, his price range? So
yeah, I'd put IO in that exact same bucket. Like right now they grade out his fine values, but by the time we get a couple hours from lock, they may not be necessary at all.
All right, let's get into the Knicks and the Thunder. 231.5 total in this game. The highest total that we have on the slate night before here. The Thunder, 2.5-point favorite. Knicks on a back-to-back. I put question marks on Reddish and Rose. We'll see if they're playing or not playing. I think those are the two biggest question marks when we're looking at the Knicks here. And then on the Thunder side, Bazley, Mann are out, and Poco is out as well. So definitely interesting on the Thunder side. We'll get to that in just a second. But let's start here with the Knicks. Reddish matters. I mean, definitely. I think Derrick Rose matters. I don't know if he matters as much. The Knicks, they kind of got blown out by the Suns on Sunday, so like no one played more than like 32 minutes. I think Grimes led the team in minutes at like 32 minutes or something, so not necessarily super concerned about a back-to-back, but Rose left that game early. I mean, anytime Rose leaves a game early, you don't expect him to play the next day. So talk to me here about the Knicks.
Yeah, I like this game environment, and the other side is really easy to know what to do. So I want to have some Knicks exposure. I think I'm just leaning, just playing Randall. RJ Barrett just hasn't been getting it done here recently. Brunson is priced up now. It's between Randall and Brunson mainly for me. I'm leaning slightly to Randall just because I don't think OKC's very strong inside. Randall could have his way in the post. 8,400 is a reasonable price tag for him. I think it's Randall over Brunson for me, but Brunson is fine too. He's just kind of priced where he should be. I'm not messing with the big men here at all. Robinson missed a bunch of time. He's not playing full minutes, and that's just kind of messing up the whole rotation. It makes Hartenstein and Sims unplayable as well. But I do want some exposure here because I want to play SGA on the other side. So Randall and Brunson, I don't think I can do Barrett until I see a little more consistency from him.
Yeah, I mean, I think just trying to figure out where the usage is going to go in this game between Barrett, Randall, and Brunson. They're all season-wise right at the same type of usage. And, I mean, this is a nice pace-up spot, not a great defensive team. So, you want exposure. I mean, you definitely want exposure. Randall's probably my favorite. I think I'm on board with you as far as that is concerned. Barrett is really interesting in tournaments. You know, if he's going to put up 20 shots in this game against the Thunder, you have to have exposure at 6,100 in tournaments. He's definitely someone that I'll be looking at, seeing what his point prop is, seeing, you know, if that comes out, you know, in the 14 range. I think I'm taking the over on that. So I'm really interested in Barrett. I think he's going to put up a ton of shots in this game. I think this is going to be a game where, especially if people go back and look at the game earlier this year and they're like, oh, 135 to 145. There was just fireworks everywhere in this game. So, I can't wait to see some player props in this game because that I'm really interested in some of those. Love Randall. Randall's definitely my favorite on the DFS side of things. I will mention, if Reddish is out again and Rose doesn't play, Quickly at 4,500 probably plays close to 30 minutes. Don't know if they're necessarily the best minutes in the world, but he is a one fantasy point per minute type of player. So if he's going to get 30 minutes in a matchup like this at 4,500, super interesting in my opinion. Rose is a 20%, 23.5% usage guy. So if he sits, that usage is going somewhere with that second unit, and I think Quickly would be that guy. So see what happens with Reddish. But if Rose is out, I think Quickly is interesting. I don't think it matters whether Reddish plays or not. If Rose is out, Quickly is interesting. That second unit, usage. Let's talk here about the Thunder. You mentioned it. You're like, we know where we're going with this next team. It's not a secret. That's by any means. New York, not a good defensive team this year. They ranked 23rd in defensive rating. We know that the Thunder are going to push the pace as much as possible. Knicks are on the second end of a back-to-back, but the Knicks play pretty fast too. They're 11th in pace this season. So this is a juicy matchup for our boy SGA. The guy is just absolutely smashing, averaging over 30 points per game. 10K is not enough. I think he's the best play on the slate today. I'm planting my flag in the SGA camp today.
You stole it from me. Those are the exact words that I was going to use.
That's the advantage of being the host, Keith. You get to talk first.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. The best play on the slate, SGA. He's 2,400 cheaper than Giannis, 600 cheaper than Tim. He's right in the same range as Young. You talked about Curry playing 37 minutes. He's on a back-to-back. I completely agree with you. SGA, best play on the slate. The Knicks were kind of a team we shied away from a little bit last year. They played really slow. They were decent on defense. That has not been the case this year. This is an absolute smash spot for SGA. I'm right there with you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Dort, 5,100, should get 30 minutes or so in this game. The guy that I can't decide, like right now, looking at the night before, Jalen Williams is super interesting to me. There's so many roads for Jalen Williams to play 35 minutes in this game at 4,300. We know he has plenty of upside. So looking at this late night before, I feel like he's really underpriced and has a ton of upside at 4,300. Like, if Man doesn't play either, like, there's some potential value here with the Thunder. Robinson Earl played 28 minutes the other night with Poco out and Baisley out. So a lot of potential here for the Thunder. This might be one of your, like, 3-2 stacks on this slate, and just hope you get fireworks in this game and hope the rest of your team kind of does what it needs to do.
Yeah, I like the Jalen Williams call. It's so tough to figure out the Thunder rotation, and they just change it up all the time.
Impossible.
So it's tournament darts. Yeah, I mean, it's tournament darts on the rest of them. You just hope you run into the guy who gets the extra run on any given night. Like Giddy and Dort, we know they're going to play some minutes. Outside of that, it's pretty hit or miss. But I do like that call on Williams. Decent price tag. If he gets around 30 minutes at 4,300 in this matchup, definitely could find a ceiling there. I like mixing a couple of these guys with SGA. I don't think I would build a game stack of this without SGA, but playing them alongside SGA, doing the 2-2 or the 3-2, like you mentioned, can totally get on board with that.
I mean, it just makes SGA price easier, right? At the end of the day, like anybody that you're pairing with him outside of Giddy is 5,100 or lower. So it just makes the price of SGA easier. All right, Golden State at New Orleans. There's a total out for this game. It's 228.5. Pelicans, a 5-point favorite. It is a back-to-back for Golden State. Kerr did say there's a good chance that we don't see Thompson on playing both, and he played Sunday. So we're going to go ahead and say that he's probably not going to play. It's more interesting here because that Houston game stayed so close and Curry and some of these other guys had to play a lot more into the game than I think Kerr would have wanted. Whether or not this early in the season, if we see some of these guys get the sitting on the second half, Draymond played 32, Looney played 29. Jordan Poole didn't have a great game Sunday. We're jumping on him here in this spot with no Klay Thompson. Talk to me here about the Warriors.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if multiple Warriors sat in the spot. We'll have to see. Luckily, it's an 8 p.m. game and not a 10 p.m. game. Maybe we get the news early in the day and it doesn't matter anyway. But it's never fun when you have a bunch of Q tags hanging out there for a 10 p.m. game and there aren't many options to pivot to if they all do end up getting rolled out. So earlier in the slate, good news for this spot because I think we could see some guys resting for sure. But I want to target Golden State with some New Orleans guys, so I want to run that back here. Don't think I'll pay up for Curry on the back-to-back. He obviously went nuts on Sunday night, so he certainly has it. But just being on the back-to-back, I'd much rather pay up for some other guys. Wiggins interests me at 6,600, and Poole, like you mentioned, at 5,800. I don't mind Draymond, but I think Wiggins and Poole would be my first two looks, assuming – everybody outside of Clay is playing. Obviously, if we get multiple guys out, we're going to have a ton of value here on Golden State. Kuminga would be amazing. DiVincenzo's been getting quite a bit of run here. This might be the best value spot on the slate by the time it all shakes out. We'll have to see.
I really don't think Clay plays, so Poole is definitely interesting at 58. If Curry is going to be low-owned, I mean, he has a 1.45 fantasy point per minute and a 34%.
Curry has been awesome this year. Like he was tough to play last year. Curry has been absolutely smashing this year. So, yeah, I mean,
even better with Clay off the court too. That's what I was like getting at. Like Clay off the court, like Curry. So if he's going to be low owned, I mean, it's obviously a little bit of a risk, but they're one back-to-back or two. They've had two back-to-backs. Like the one back-to-back that stayed close though, like he played 35 minutes the night after, put up 24 shot attempts and he was fine. So if he's going to be low owned, I think Curry is really interesting to either pair with maybe like an SGA or to pivot off of SGA and hope SGA doesn't just have that big game. But I do like Curry as like a tournament pivot here, but Jordan Poole, I think, is going to be end up being like my favorite play from Golden State in this game. And I think he'll end up being a lot of people's favorite play. Glad that he had kind of a bad game on Sunday, maybe, but a bad taste in people's mouth. So watch the news on this one. It's so hard to talk about Golden State on the second end of a back-to-back. New Orleans side, I mean, Zion's expected back here. You know, it'd be interesting to see with him as probable what we're looking at, if he's going to have like a minutes restriction or anything like that. I mean, we've seen the same Zion. Like he's definitely been someone that we had a huge question mark coming on into the season. It's like good. What are your thoughts here with the Pelicans with Zion probable here?
Yeah, it gets a little bit tougher, but this is definitely a matchup that I want to target. Golden State is the fastest team in basketball, and they've been atrocious on the defensive end this year. So I definitely want some Pelicans exposure. I'd go to Zion first, I think. Have to keep an eye on the news for minutes restriction or anything like that. But assuming that he suits up and there's no news about a minutes restriction, he's my favorite play here. I think he makes Ingram a little bit tough to play just because he's missed some time here recently. Ingram's usage gets cut a little bit with Zion back. I don't mind McCollum at 8,100. He can still rack up some assists and some other peripheral stats, even if Zion is the main usage guy. I think Herb Jones is interesting at 4,700. He's going to be out there for 30-plus minutes. And in this game environment, I could see like fringe players paying off in this spot. Nance is kind of the same thing. Like definitely wouldn't leave. Like any time I'm stacking this game, I would start it with Zion or Ingram or McCollum at least. But it's kind of like we just talked about a 3-2 or a 2-2. I definitely think these fringe Pelicans pieces, depending on what kind of value we get on the slate, they could absolutely be in play. Nance and Herb Jones are the two guys I'd be looking at.
So I'm just curious. I don't know how much Pelicans basketball, but I was looking through like rotations and stuff before we got started and like can't figure out what happened with Valanciunas. Like start of the season was getting minutes, was crushing, and they've just gone away. And I don't know. Like he's still, from what I could see, he's still starting. He's just not finishing games. So like he's getting,
yep, that's it.
Coming back late in the second quarter, leaving in the third quarter and really not coming back. This is an amazing spot if Valanciunas, if we were guaranteed 30 minutes, like at 6,400, but I just looking through it, I'm like, I can't trust it. I like the Herb Jones call. Because I actually think like the minutes might be, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, looking through Nance, like, has been the guy closing over Valanciunas.
Okay, so
they've been choosing to go small down the stretch. Yep.
Oh, I could definitely see this game going small too, with Golden State. So maybe Nance is the play. First and foremost, I think if we don't get any type of like minutes restrictions, Zion smashes in this spot. I mean, Ingram is kind of pricey at 8,200. It would be awesome if they were like, hey, we're gonna make him 7,500 with Zion, you know, being here and like, but you know, we're not getting that obviously. So I really think like Zion, McCollum, if he gets hot, he could break a slate. Herb Jones and Nance are really interesting. I think Nance is the play though. I think Nance would be the guy that I end up on in that range.
Yeah. Trey Murphy also questionable. So like,
yeah,
maybe Najee Marshall could come into the conversation with a little bit of extra run. He's only 3,200. You would definitely need Murphy out to be able to make that play, but just something to keep an eye on.
Value throughout the day is always something. When someone gets ruled out, you always have to look into who could potentially benefit. That's NBA DFS. Even if you're doing like NBA betting, you can definitely take advantage of some stuff. Portland at Milwaukee, 215.5 total here. Milwaukee, 8.5-point favorite. Johnson, Lillard, and Payton out for Portland. Ingles, Matthews, and Middleton out for Milwaukee. We'll start here with Portland. Obviously, no Lillard. Makes Simons really interesting. I just, man, this game environment, to me, just screams fade. Milwaukee's the best defensive team in the league throughout to start the season. And they're just not a team that, I mean, they play middle of the pace, middle of the road pace-wise. And Portland, they play slow. So it really it kind of feeds into, like, Milwaukee just handling this game. Is there anything that you like here for Portland?
I agree with you mostly. Like Nurkic and Grant, I don't want any part of. Brooke Lopez has been phenomenal on the defensive end this year. Milwaukee is the best defensive team in the NBA. But Simon's role without Lillard, he's a little bit underpriced. Tough spot for him, but he should really be 8K at least probably in this for his role without Lillard. So I think you can play some Simons here. Really tough matchup. But we've seen him just absolutely go nuts without Lillard. So Simons would be the one Portland guy I have some interest in.
33% usage with Johnson and Lillard off the floor this season, averaging 1.13 fantasy points per minute. Nurkic, 1.3 fantasy points per minute. He's really been the fantasy point per minute guy with Lillard off. It's just not a great matchup for him. So, yeah, I mean, Simons definitely in play. Josh Hart, 6,500. If he was a little bit cheaper, I don't know what he is on FanDuel or Yahoo, would be someone that could potentially be in play. Winslow could play 30 to 35 minutes in this game if it stays close. I mean, they could really use him on the defensive side of this game. Wouldn't be shocked if he gets a little bit of a bump in minutes in this one, but was really seeing an increase when Josh Hart was kind of banged up. So with Hart back, I don't know if Winslow gets that much. The Milwaukee side, I mean, Giannis is 12-4. There's just so many better plays on this slate in this price range. Drew Holiday, I don't expect this game to really stay close either. I mean, I'm probably fading the Bucks in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Giannis is really expensive. On FanDuel, he's going to be easier to get to as usual. But on DraftKings here, like, DraftKings has been really aggressive with his pricing this season. 12-4 in this spot is tough. Like, there's some blowout risk. It's the pace of the game isn't great, like you mentioned. So yeah, a bit of a tough spot for Giannis. Always have to have some exposure, I think. But I love it. I definitely will have more exposure to like a Tatum, SGA, certainly. Even Trae Young, I think I would have him just to save the 2K or whatever it is. And I have no interest on anyone else outside of Giannis. Holiday's just coming back from injury. He didn't play full minutes in his first game back. And everybody else is kind of priced up because Holiday missed some time. Like Portis at 7,200, no thanks. Brooke Lopez has been absolutely smashing. But if Holiday is going to play 30 minutes, just how much is left for Brooke? And his price is coming up as well. Like when he was 5K, sure, it's a lot easier for him to pay off that price tag, but 6,600, can't do it. Carter at 5,600 with Holiday back, can't get there. So, like, the Bucks are just expensive because of Holiday missing some time and, like, Giannis being priced up. It's hard to play the Bucks, so kind of with you.
I like Bucks -8.5 a lot in this game, for what it's worth. I think that line's too low. That'll line a move. I think it ends closer to 10. I could be wrong. Who knows? I've been off for 2.5 weeks. Miami at Minnesota. We got 219 total in this game. Minnesota, 7.5-point favorite. It's a back-to-back for Miami, which is a nightmare situation. Good thing this game's at 8 o'clock when there's a lot of games starting because, you know, we have the two 7 o'clock games where But a ton of injury news in this 8 o'clock range. There's going to be a lot of lineups adjusted from like 7:30 to 8 o'clock on this slate, in my opinion. So if you can't be by your computer, this is probably not the best slate to be very aggressive on. So Miami, I mean, Butler, we know is out. Like, he got ruled out for the rest of the road games. He's out. We have no idea about Hero, Bam, Vincent. I mean, who knows what we're looking at here? You know, does Bam play with the knee, especially? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Minnesota's healthy. They're good to go. They're ready to beat the Heat in this one. Talk to me here about Miami as best as you can for a night before.
Yeah, really tough spot to talk about without knowing the injury situation. I know I don't want to play Bam. You got Gobert on the other side. Bam's been struggling a little bit this year anyway. He's coming back from his own injury, only played 27 minutes against Cleveland. I'm probably not playing Bam in the spot. Lowry, I don't love the price at 7,200. He obviously smashed when the entire team was out, but didn't do much in this last game against Cleveland here. I don't think I need to pay 7,200 for him. So I think it's dependent upon Hero on whether I want to play some Max Strus or some Caleb Martin. Even their prices are coming up now because the Heat have been dealing with this situation for almost a week now. So Strus at 6,100, Martin at 5,400 are fine. Not like extreme values, even if it was out. Jovic, I think, is the guy I have the most interest in just because he's the cheapest. He's been getting good run at the wing. Probably need Hero out to play him, but I think Jovic would be the guy I take some shots on here. Hero's out. I'll play some Strus and Martin too, but prefer saving the money with Jovic.
Miami is so tough night before, you know, first look-wise, because does Lowry play, you know, the second end of a back-to-back in this one? Is the other question mark. He played a back-to-back earlier this season, or two of them already. So I would assume he plays the back-to-back here. But, I mean, Max Strus, like, the dude had to shoot 62% to have a ceiling game against Charlotte. So he's 6,100. So, like, even if Hero doesn't play, I don't think I go there. I think, like, if Highsmith gets any kind of, like, starting news or anything like that, he's 3,800. He would be super interesting. They ran him out there the other night when he started 40-something minutes, and he had a ton of shot attempts. So, I mean, Caleb Martin is okay. He's kind of priced where he should be. I think I'm with you on Nikola Jovic. Where does the minutes go? I think he's going to, you know, continue to get these minutes with Butler out. We saw him get plenty of minutes on Sunday, even with Bam. You know, he played 32 minutes. So ceiling-wise, I mean, probably not the best. But when you're looking at the matchup, when you're looking at the Minnesota matchup in general, they like to play Towns and Gobert. They could really use that size in this game. So I think that he's going to get 30 to 35 minutes if he can stay out of foul trouble in this one. So Minnesota... Towns is 8,900. I think his price scares me off of him a little bit. I think I'm more likely to take like a shot on Anthony Edwards if I'm trying to chase some like some ceiling in this game. You know, Gobert is going to go out and just have a solid game. I don't think he really has a high upside. I think if I'm looking for a ceiling in this one, it's Edwards or Russell. But again, we have some really good games on this slate, and this is just not one of those games.
Yeah, I'm Minnesota team to play anyway. Like, their prices are starting to adjust, but they're still not quite there. Agree with you that Edwards would be my first look. I mean, he can certainly smash a $7,600 price tag. We've seen him throw up 60-plus before. So I do like the Edwards call a good amount. And Miami is thought of as a really tough matchup, but, like, with Butler out, this is not as tough of a matchup. Bam may not play full minutes, like, I have some interest here, and I agree. Edwards is the primary target. I'll sprinkle in some Towns just because he can break any slate also. But I do like saving the money with Edwards, and I don't mind the Russell call either. Like, he's not going to hit a ceiling as often this season as we saw last season. But he still has it in him for sure. 50 points, 50 fantasy points, 6,100 is a very fair price. I think you could definitely take it there. Gobert, I'm with you. That, just kind of a solid overall play and not going to hit a ceiling very often. But I won't play a couple of these guys together, but I don't mind playing any of Towns, Edwards, or Russell.
We finish it out with Utah Adelaide taking on the Clippers. 221 total in this one. Clippers a 3.5-point favorite. Conley and Gay are out for Utah. George, questionable, which is obviously big news if he plays or if he doesn't. Kennard is out for the Clippers. We'll get to the Clippers side of this game in a minute. We'll start here with Utah. Lauri Markkanen, we were really curious what his role was going to be. You know, kind of looking through everything. Again, I haven't really been following a lot. It seems like he's carved out a nice little role here in the, on this Utah team. What are your thoughts here on the Jazz?
Yeah, I mean, Utah might just be legit. Like, they just haven't slowed down much. They're just playing team basketball. It's a bunch of role players just kind of finding their way and filling roles nicely. Markkanen is the high ceiling guy here. The problem is this matchup, and the Paul George questionable tag makes it even more difficult. This is an island game. It's 2.5 hours after the start of any other game on the slate. Maybe you want to build some of this to account for the possibility of Paul George being ruled out, but when we're going to get to the Clippers, like, it's just a mess on that side. Also with Kawhi, the way they've been handling Kawhi. So this is a very difficult game for me to target. I don't mind exposure to Markkanen. I like Clarkson. You can sprinkle in Vanderbilt and Olynyk, but I'm a little bit concerned. First of all, tough matchup against the Clippers, and then running it back with anyone on the Clippers side is going to be a nightmare if George is in. I don't know. It's tough. From George down to like a Zubac, and then like drop from or go up from like an Olynyk up to Clarkson or something like that. I don't know exactly what the salary is, but definitely be cognizant of setting up 2v2s like that if you are going to play this game. Myself personally, I'll probably just avoid it altogether. It's not a great game environment way. Two good defenses, two teams that play slower. Probably just avoiding it for the most part.
I could see taking some shots on like John Wall in this game. Like, Paul George sits, like, they don't play until Wednesday and it's against the Warriors. So if the knee is bothering him at all, maybe they give him the day, and then they, you know, nobody plays on Thursday. So like, it'd be a really nice little, like, play the Warriors on Wednesday, play the Nuggets on Friday type of break. And, you know, it would just be like a shorter week for Paul George. So I wouldn't be shocked if he sits in this game. Like, I'm kind of guessing, like, if it is anything nagging, he sits here and he's ready to go Wednesday. They didn't play Sunday, give him Monday and Tuesday off, and then back Wednesday would be my guess. So like, island, like, just taking a shot on like John Wall, because like, if, even if, or he's on the other side, sorry. Did we start with the Clippers? Did we mess up? Or no, we started talking about Paul George. Anyway,
you didn't give your thoughts on Utah. Well, you kind of did. You talked about Markkanen, and then you threw it to me. So,
yeah,
I mean, want to clean up your thoughts on Utah.
Yeah. Back to the Clippers. Like, it's just like, taking a shot on John Wall might be like the play for like a lone John Wall spot for me in this game, because I mean, it has a 221 total, but like, a lot of those games early on, 225, 226, 230, 228, like, those games, those earlier games are much better games than these, like, late games. But, like, John Wall, if you got it right, like, if you just got it right, like, if you get Paul George in or out right, and we don't get that news until after the 8 o'clock games and people can't adjust, you're not setting up, like you said, you're not setting up 2v2s for this game. I mean, you're not, like, this game's not great. So, like, if you just guess and get it right and he plays 25 minutes and has a really solid game, He's kind of pricey though. So like, if you get the Paul George news wrong, he probably crushes. I mean, he doesn't probably crush you, but you know, you're putting him in a position where you're using your, you know, your guard or your utility spot late, and you're just kind of hoping you get it right. But overall, this isn't my favorite game. I know I said that a lot for these last three games, but I really like the first five games that we talked about. I think there's a lot of great plays in those first five games. And when I'm looking at this slate as a whole, I'm looking at those first five games and going, all right. And I'm looking at these last three games and going, please don't kill me type of games. Did you have any more thoughts on the Clippers or this game in general?
Just the Clippers with, I mean, Kawhi's going to play like 24 minutes a game, it seems like. So if Kawhi and George are active, it just makes the rest of the team pretty much unplayable. I do like your John Wall call. He's a guy that can put up a ceiling in a short amount of minutes at 5,900. I could see that working out, even if Kawhi and PG are in. Reggie Jackson, I would kind of put in that same bucket. I know he's never a fun guy to play, but he is a guy that could absolutely go nuts if George were to sit. So I think you could build with some Reggie Jackson, and hopefully you get lucky and George is out. Kind of the same idea that you were talking about with Wall there. But yeah, just not a ton of interest overall.
All right. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. I mean, haven't played the game in forever. I don't know if you guys played the game while I was gone. So there you go. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X. Who do you got?
Guy that's been running into minutes because of the situation of his team. We haven't really seen a ceiling game out of him, but give me Nikola Jokic. I think he can put some points up. We haven't seen a 10-rebound game out of him yet, I don't think. That's in there somewhere, so give me him to hit a double-double here at 4K.
I got Jalen Williams. You know, going back to the Thunder, I really like kind of this role that he has right now with some of these guys out. So I think Jalen Williams is someone that gets 28-plus minutes in this game and crushes at 4,300. So one of my favorite plays on the slate. Let's go over 8K to get under 5X. Who is your bust today?
Give me DeJounte Murray playing next to Trae Young. Really tough matchup at Cleveland, 9,300. Don't see myself getting there.
I like it. I mean, my initial thought is Cat, so I'm going to stick with that. Karl Anthony Towns. I just don't know if this is a ceiling spot for him. I don't know if this game stays close enough for him to have a ceiling game here. Miami is really banged up. No Butler. Bam is banged up. Hero is banged up. I just don't know if this game stays close for Cat to have a 15-25 type of game. So I'm going to go Karl Anthony Towns as my bust today. Favorite 6X play. Who do you got?
Really tough matchup, but Anthony Simons has absolutely smashed at times without Lillard. He gets that situation here. He's going to be the reason this game stays close, if it does at all. 7,400, even with a tough matchup, I think he can pay that off pretty easily.
I'm going to go SGA all the way towards the top. I think he gets over 60 fantasy points and gets the 6X today. Love this spot for him. I think this is a game where he really has a big game. And he's, what, he has 5, 6 60-point games already this season, DFS-wise. So I really like this spot for him. He's just having a fantastic season. Like, yeah, I mean, nothing else to really add. He's been one of the best players. Like, he is really close to averaging the same fantasy points as Giannis, and he's $2,400 less. So,
yeah. I mean, the OKC's almost 500 because of him. Like, he's doing everything. Yeah.
Let's get weird. GPP play of the day. Who do you got today?
So I love targeting Golden State, especially if they rest some guys. I think Nance is going to be the popular mid 4K play. I'm going to mix in some Herb Jones and just hope that because of the game environment, he can pick up a few extra fantasy points for us.
I struggle with this question today because when you take a little bit of time off, like, it's very refreshing. Usually, but I'm sleep deprived. So I really just don't know where like ownership is going to like land on this slate. So I struggle with the question today. I'm gonna go back to like one of the spots that we talked about like really early. I don't know what he'll have ownership wise. I don't think it's going to be very high. I talked to him about him in depth earlier, but give me Grant Williams from Boston. I don't think he'll be a very popular play. It's 5K. This is just one of those spots where I think he could get 30 to 35 minutes. They're going to need his size in this game. And I mean, he really just hasn't had like that huge, like steel block game that he's capable of. So he's someone that could put up 40 plus at 5K. So Grant Williams is my get weird GPP play today. We're going to, any bets standing out to you here night before?
The one I have here is the Knicks are 2.5 point underdogs at Oklahoma City. And we just praised the SGA and how good he's been, but the Knicks are a better team than Oklahoma City. I was surprised to see them as underdogs. I like them even on the money line, plus 120 or Knicks plus 2.5 is what I wrote down here.
Get it. That line of move. Right? I mean, I think that line of move.
I mean, it jumped out to me as odd. Like, I don't know. I know they're on the road, but the Knicks are a better team than Oklahoma City. I think the Knicks have struggled a little bit, but
it's minus 105 at points bet if you're in a state where points bet's legal right now. So. Everywhere else is minus
105.
Yeah.
Nice.
So everywhere else is minus 110. So the only reason I know that is because I have scores and odds popped up right now. Because I was going to write something up when we got done. So I'm gonna write this up. This is a freebie for everyone. This will be on scores and odds for everyone as well. Milwaukee -8.5. I love this line. I don't think Portland keeps this game close enough. You know, Milwaukee is a great team at home. No Damian Lillard. I like the Bucks -8.5 in this game. It's a lot. It's a lot of points. But this line is on four books already moved to 9 since I wrote this down before we got started tonight. So I really think this line will continue to move. We usually do sleeper fantasy picks. If you haven't checked them out, awesome sponsors of the podcast, promo code Grinders gets you a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. They just don't have anything up right now. So if I remember, which I probably won't, don't hate me. If I remember, I will try to tweet something out tomorrow. At first glance, like I do like Halliburton over 19.5 points against the Magic. That would be like one that I definitely don't mind. But honestly, he's been someone that I've been looking at like thinking like his assists are where you're going to find value for Halliburton. So,
yeah, I agree. I would be very interested to see where those assists open up.
Yeah. They have point, rebound and assist at 35.5. It's probably is close. 20-12 and 4. That's close. So, but yeah, anyway, if you haven't checked out Sleeper, check them out. Like I said, awesome sponsors of the podcast. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, nothing else. There should be a really fun slate. 8 games is kind of that sweet spot, and there's a couple of game environments I really like. The Orlando, Indiana, New York, OKC, and we'll see what Golden State does with their back-to-back, but I'm really interested in some Pelicans too. So I like this slate a lot. Should be a good one.
It's a fun slate to come back to. No NBA on Thursday. We'll have a football podcast on Thursday. I don't know if I'm going to have a Thanksgiving podcast yet. It will be a standalone podcast. I'll let you guys know tomorrow on the podcast if that's going to happen or not. But NBA podcast back tomorrow. Again, if you want to watch live night before, you can always check out the Morning Grind YouTube page. We have 69 subscribers on the new Morning Grind YouTube page. So go over there, subscribe, hit the notification button, do all that fun YouTube stuff. Appreciate everyone for listening. We'll be back tomorrow talking more hoops. Good luck. We'll see you then.